Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm John Hilton, editor at the Cochrane Editorial Unit. The Cochrane Pregnancy and Childbirth Group maintains a large collection of Cochrane reviews, covering a very wide range of interventions and actions. This includes some of the everyday aspects of life during pregnancy, and an updated review from June 2015 looks at caffeine intake. Lead author Shayesta Jahanfar from the Department of Public Health at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada, sets the scene and describes the evidence.
It is not unusual for pregnant women to wonder whether taking a regular everyday coffee could have an impact on their fetus. And what about other forms of caffeine such as tea, cola, chocolate, or some over-the-counter medicines? Alongside these uncertainties, it is known that caffeine clears more slowly from the blood during pregnancy, which could lead to even stronger effects. Sharifa Halima Jafar from the KPG Johor Specialist Hospital in Malaysia and I did this Cochrane review to answer these questions, but we found that the evidence is currently too weak to be sure. Before doing the review, we knew that some studies had suggested that caffeine intake is harmful to the fetus, causing growth restriction, reduced birth weight, preterm birth, or stillbirth. While other investigators failed to find any association between caffeine intake and these or other poor pregnancy outcomes, we wanted to see what the answer would be when we brought together the most reliable studies of the impact of restricted maternal caffeine consumption during pregnancy on fetal, neonatal, and pregnancy outcomes. We searched for randomized trials, but the two outcomes of birth weight and preterm birth were assessed by one study only, where consumption of a caffeinated instant coffee was compared with a decaffeinated form. Although the study was large, with approximately 600 women in each of the groups, the quality of the study was low. Its results suggested that reducing coffee intake by more than 3 cups per day during the second and third trimester did not affect birth weight, nor did it change the risk of preterm birth. This lack of high-quality randomized trials means that we still don't know the truth about the impact of coffee consumption during pregnancy. 6 years after publishing the first version of this review, and after 2 updates, the implications of our findings remain the same. We need some large, high-quality randomized trials. And these trials need to measure outcomes of particular importance to women and their families and to the practitioners who provide care during pregnancy, such as miscarriage, low birth weight, preterm birth, perinatal mortality, sudden infant death syndrome, and maternal diabetes. However, we recognize that doing these trials will be challenging. Long-term outcome measures in evaluating caffeine intake during pregnancy may be difficult or even unethical. In order to impact outcomes such as miscarriage or birth defects, changes in coffee drinking might need to happen before pregnancy or in very early pregnancy. Furthermore, it's not clear how much caffeine, in what shape or form, with what quality, can cause fetal or maternal problems, if any. In summary, we sadly still don't know all that about the effect of restricting coffee intake during pregnancy, and we hope that our future updates might contain the evidence needed to help resolve these uncertainties.
If you would like to read the latest update of Shayesta's review, you can find it at cochranelibrary.com with a simple search for caffeine in pregnancy. That's also how to find future versions should the much-needed evidence to answer this important question become available.